Welcome to The Right Kind of Book Talk. I'm your host, Stacey Wright. This is episode 13, Hyped Books. Are they really worth the mania? We all see the BookTok wrecks and the Bookster wrecks, and it feels like everyone has read the books and we haven't. Has this ever happened to you? Everyone's talking about a book, and you get to the point where you want to know if you should just crack to the pressure and read it, or if you back away slowly and hold firm in saying no. What if the book isn't worth the hype? What if you commit to the book and it is utter tripe? I went to Facebook and Bookster to see what books people say are worth the hype and then give you the 5-star and 1-star reviews of them. You can decide if they are worth the hype or not. But before we dive into whether I think the books that are hyped are worth the read or not, yep, you guessed it, it's publication day, woohoo! So let's take a look and see what books you could potentially go out and buy today from the bookstore. At Dark, I Become Lonesome by Eric LaRocca, and that one is a horror. It's actually really good. Blob by Maggie Sue, and it's a women's fiction, humorous fiction. Chain Reaction by James Byrne, and it's a crime thriller. Every Fall by Angela Douglas, and it's a paranormal thriller. Everything I Promised You by Katie Upperman, and that one is a contemporary romance. Good Dirt by Charmaine Wilkerson, and that one is like a literary fiction. Old Soul by Susan Barker, and it is a historical thriller. The Crash by Freda McFadden, and that one is a thriller, and I have already purchased it first thing this morning. Vanisher by Tom Grimwood, and it's a dark fantasy. And the last one is We Rip the World Apart by Charlene Carr, and it's a multicultural book. Now, don't forget that there are a lot of other books out today, but they're just my top highlights. So I very rarely get caught in the hyperbooks. I think I've made the mistake twice in my life, and both times the books ended up on my most hated book pile. Gone Girl and Silent Patient. These two books taught me that I often don't see what other people see in some of these really hyped books. Someone once had me make for them from Blood and Ash merch for her shelf. Now, she wanted something others didn't have. And don't get me wrong, the stuff I made was beautiful. So I decided to give the series a go. I started with book one, which, you know, I thought was decent. I was kind of sold on the series based on book one. But each book after that kind of fell apart. Like, they got worse and worse. And I really didn't care enough about what the characters were doing. I didn't like it. And I ended up DNFing the series at book three. But what is this book series about? So Poppy the Maiden is never to be touched. She is forbidden to socialize, to celebrate her birthdays, to go to picnics, to defend herself, because she is the Maiden. She cannot live or experience anything she wants for herself without being reminded about her duty to the gods. She doesn't have the privileges everyone around her has, but she does the exact opposite of what she is expected to do. And it leads to some really interesting storylines. Well, at the beginning it did anyway. So it's a vampire novel. And the first book, like I said, it was good. But it really got lazy, in my opinion. I think the author did this series a massive injustice. It could have been magnificent. One of the best ones I'd ever read, but it fell so short. And honestly, I wasn't the only one that felt this way. Like, here are some 1-star reviews, and some of the people that wrote them had me laughing my butt off, okay? So this person said, the way I lost my effing brain cells reading this book. Yes, I kind of felt that way towards the end too. This person said, the fact that this was over 600 pages and the fact that this book has an average rating of 4.36 stars at the time of this review, the fact that I'm, excuse me while I go and vomit all the angst and cringe out of me. Funny, right? This book won the Goodreads Choice Awards for the category of romance. That was even a choice? Someone explain. I am so confused. You know what? I'm with you. 600 plus pages of no pot, no vibes, an MC with no brain, thinly veiled racism, and way too many mentions of honeydew. Okay, I don't remember the part about the honeydew, but I'm sure it must have been in there if this person wrote it in their review. Now, this one is my favorite of all the one-star reviews. Hello, friends. Today, I present to you a new section called Big Hype, Big Lie. I actually really love that. I just created a new shelf specifically for this book and future disappointments. Now, before I begin, I warn you that the reasons why this book was not to my liking, it falls short, will be wisely justified. And I forced myself to read and finish this book to live this torture-filled odyssey so that you won't come to me and say, obviously you didn't like it because you didn't finish it. It gets better later when it sucks from the beginning. Now, I hate it when people do this, when they say it does get better, because wow. Okay, wow. Okay, her review continues. First of all, no one knows how much I suffered reading and trying to DNF because I said to myself, Elle, if you're going to give it 0.5 stars, at least finish it and give it the review it deserves. Besides, I'm not a fan of it gets better later. Yeah, I'm the same. So after a torturous read, rolling my eyes a billion times at each chapter and nearly vomiting from the cringe, here I am, ready to do my review. Let's start. Dramatic music times three. Lights fading on and off to focus on your charismatic hostess who wears armor in case someone decides to shoot an arrow at her or run a sword through her. Now, this reviewer nailed it for me. She was so funny in the way she said it because super fans get really upset when you don't like their books, okay? And I didn't even go into all the things she didn't like, but her vibes were cracking. I trusted what she had to say because it kind of felt the same. Now, this should really tell you just how diverse readers are because, like, as of now, it has a star rating of 4.22 out of 5. And because 81% of reviewers, and there were over 700,000 reviews, rated it 4 or 5 star. Now, that is a very large selection of superfans. I didn't think it lived up to the hype, but as you can see, I'm really a small minority here. Now, take what people have to say with a grain of salt. I find that hyped books tend to set expectations, high expectations, because that's how our brains work. Everybody loved it, so you're going to love it. Everyone's amped it up, and you end up with an unrealistic expectation. You think that it's modern-day Shakespeare, and really it's just a book that didn't reach the lofty limits of all the people that have spent their time ramping it right up. Now, people often feel disappointed in hype books because the immense anticipation and high expectations created by the insanity often leads to a disconnection between the readers and what they imagine about the book compared to the actual reading experience. Now, this causes a feeling of the book not living up to the hype, even if it really is a great book. I think this is really harmful. I really do. Over-marketed books often create the exact opposite of their intentions with readers, giving books lower reviews, and this is usually because of the unrealistic expectations. I'm telling you right now, when a book is heavily promoted, readers tend to build up an idealized version of the story in their minds, making it difficult for the actual book to reach these crazy high expectations, these standards, insanity, I'm telling you right now, okay? And it's a subjective experience. What one person finds amazing about a book, well, that might not resonate with another. So even a well-written book can disappoint some readers based on their individual preferences. Come on, we're all different. Oversimplification of complex themes. Now this, the hype can sometimes overemphasize certain aspects of a book, leading to a perception that the story is shallower than it actually really is. Crazy, right? Crazy. Comparisons to other works is another thing that readers do when they compare a hype book to other similar books that they've enjoyed, which then can lead to disappointment if the hyped book doesn't live up to the same comparisons. Like, this all makes complete sense, right? So I asked readers what books they did feel lived up to the hype. And as I predicted, out of 904 comments on Facebook, yeah, I'm not even joking, I only saw one book repeated by two people. And that's insane. That's over 900 books that 900 people said were worth the hype, yet no one else agreed with them. This might be one of the most pointless episodes I have ever done, but I'm in for it now. So which book was it? It was Fourth Wing. Now, I have read the series so far. I didn't bend to the hype. I literally had a customer send me a copy of Fourth Wing and then Iron Flame when it came out. She was dying to talk about it with me. And if she hadn't been expecting a chat, I probably would have shelved it. Now, I am glad I did read it, but my expectations were low. I wasn't expecting to read the best fantasy book ever written. And newsflash, it definitely isn't. But I went in with a different mindset, and I did really enjoy the series. Yes, I am now swept up in the mania because the series grew on me. A lot of readers have very little precious time to read, and finding time to read is hard enough in our busy lives. So falling victim to bad overhyped books because people are jumping on bandwagons can lead to some serious disappointment. So one book series that came up several times on Bookstagram and BookTok is The Zodiac Academy by Caroline Peckham and Susan Valenti. Now, I held off from this series because the mania was driving me insane and I waited for it to die down. I literally read book one just before Christmas, and here's a synopsis. I'm a Gemini, impulsive, curious, headstrong, a twin, heir to a throne I know nothing about, and it turns out I'm Fae. But of course, there's a catch. All I have to do to claim my birthright is to prove that I'm the most powerful supernatural in the whole of Solaria. And sure, technically that's true, as I am the daughter of the Savage King. But the bit they didn't put in the brochure was that every single Fae in this kingdom would claim my throne if they could. The school they sent me to is both dangerous as and one hell of a party. Vampires bite weaker students in the corridors. The werewolf pack has orgies in the Wailing Woods at every full moon, and don't even get me started on the dark and twisted ways the sirens use their powers on people's emotions, or how my sinfully tempting cardinal magic teacher hosts attentions that leave people needing therapy. Courses are totally interesting if you manage to live through them. And that Gemini star sign I mentioned, it now determines my elemental magic and affects my destiny. So learning astrology is essential if I'm going to beat down my classmates, which is actively encouraged, by the way. My biggest problem is the drool-worthy dragon shifter who has his eyes on my throne. He has three psycho friends, and they're all determined to make my time here hell. All I've got to do is survive, but fate might have other ideas. Damn it. Why couldn't I have gotten a letter to Hogwarts? Okay, do you now see why I no longer read the synopsis of books? That was top level cringe, okay? That's about as cringy as I can handle. You know what? Actually, I can't handle how cringy that was. It's horrible. That was the worst synopsis I've ever read. And you might be thinking, well, it's young adult, right? Well, you'd be wrong, because actually it's classed as a new adult. So this juvenile synopsis literally put me off reading it originally. It's a romantasy series that has 12 books, novellas, okay? So what made me decide to give it a shot because it clearly wasn't that bloody synopsis, was it? It was actually another podcaster. Now, she was talking about books that she was planning on reading so that she could make fun of them on her podcast. And this one, for some reason, was top of her hit list. Now, she read book one, and she said she was actually ashamed to admit she actually enjoyed it, and then secretly read books two and three back to back. Now, she called it a guilty pleasure. The series she loves, but is too embarrassed to admit. Now, she likes a lot of the same books as me, hence why I gave it a shot. Her embarrassment was enough for me to grab it from the library. And you know what? She was right. I actually enjoyed the heck out of it. I'm not ashamed like she is, though. I can appreciate it for what it is. So managing my expectations was key here. Now, I truly believe this, okay? Managing expectations. The beauty of this series for me, I'm waiting on book five, okay? So I don't know a lot about it. But the character building was it for me. Watching these dumbass teenagers grow into human beings. Well, in this case, Faye, right? Now, that's the magic. Walking around the academy, picking the cliques, choosing sides. I'm invested. The writing is just okay. Like, it only got 3.8 stars on Goodreads, and I tend to agree. It's not brilliant, but it's entertaining. And I will likely read it again once I'm all done. I'm not looking for award-winning writing right here. I'm looking for my posse. And even as a woman in her 40s, I can connect. Now, someone's 5-star review is like, everyone was right. This book is top-tier entertainment. It really was, okay? I absolutely devoured it. It's so fast-paced. I was hooked from the start. There is definitely crack in this book because it is so addicting. Even though I hated so much in this book, like the bullying and the celestial heirs, I couldn't stop reading. I already knew I was going to be very addicted to the series, but this is on another level. The world-building was perfect, and one of the main reasons I got so invested. Agree. This book was like crack. This person literally nailed it. But this person obviously didn't agree. Listen, okay? 1-star review. DNF. Complete trash. Cringy. Forcibly immature MC who talks like this. I'm smiling like a hyena on crack. I'll stick with Harry Potter fanfiction on Wattpad. I've read some incredible works there by very talented people, even in their teens. Who can write better than this? Yeah, okay. A lot of the 1-2-star reviews bring up the lack of consent. They are talking about the force feeding from vampires, like not being able to say no. Now, I can see how that could be problematic, but you have to understand that this is a bully romance trope book, and that is huge in the dark romance world, okay? Dark romance readers love it. So those who love this kind of content will be all over it. And the ones who don't will automatically spank it with a 1-star review. Reading and the books each person enjoys are completely subjective. And I'm going to tell you about an overhyped book that I loved, and a lot of people did too. And it was called The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. So there was this woman. She had a mad hate on for Somewhere Beyond the Sea for preachy content in LGBTQ. She likened it to being hit over the head with a mallet. Classy, hey? Someone explained that the author used a real event, the 60s scoop, that happened here in Canada, as a foundation for the orphans, okay? She went bloody ballistic. She doubled down on how people who read books like this are disgusting. Using really devastating true events for entertainment, and then how people who read World War II fiction books are problematic. Now, The Nightingale is a World War II novel, in case you've never read it. Now, that's why I picked this book in particular. So what is this about? So in the quiet village of Caravu, Vianne says goodbye to her husband, Antoine, as he heads for the front. She doesn't believe the Nazis will invade France, but invade they do. In droves of marching soldiers, in caravans of trucks and tanks, in planes that fill the skies and drop bombs upon the innocent. When a German captain requisitions Vianne's home, she and her daughter must live with the enemy or lose everything. Without money, food, or hope, as the danger escalates all around them, she is forced to make one impossible choice after another to keep her family safe. Ryan's sister, Isabel, is a rebellious 18-year-old searching for purpose with all the reckless passion of youth. While thousands of Parisians march into the unknown terrors of war, she meets Gitane, a Parisian who believes the French can fight the Nazis from within France. And she falls in love just as a teenager can, completely. But when he betrays her, Isabel joins the resistance and never looks back, risking her life time and time again to save others. Okay, people, this book was so heartbreakingly beautiful. It was a powerful and emotional story that ripped me to shreds. I wondered after the outburst of the lunatic on Facebook, if everyone else was giving it a one star, that they had the same issues with people using tragic history in fictionalized books. But not one of the 1% of the one stars reviews ever mentioned that, okay? The reason I bring this up is that most books draw on reality. As readers, we all know this. So I was a bit shocked at the level of animosity that this woman had to other readers of historical fiction. This person's opinion weighed less than air as far as I was concerned, but still, she may have swayed someone to never read a World War II book based on her outburst. Do you see? Now, I love the writing. Christian Haller has a gift. Yet, as a lot of the one-star reviews were attacking her writing. One even went as far as stating that she wrote like an airhead on helium. Like, ouch! This is one of the reasons that reviews can really make or break a book. It takes just one bad review on a book for one person to not pick it up. This is why, as a book influencer, I am acutely aware of the power I wield, and I don't mean that in any kind of arrogant way, but I know how easily swayed some readers can be. Honestly, it is terrifying knowing that one bad review from me could ruin a book for just one other person. We're all different. Every single reader has something they love from reading. And often hype books are like a shiny toy. You want to be part of something. And hype books are a great way to connect with other readers. Something that a lot of readers don't know is that there are people who love the books you love too. Deb Harkness. Oh man, I love this woman. I love her as an author. Her All Souls series is one of my favorite series of all times. And she has a group on Facebook. It's called the All Souls Discussion Group. Boom. You don't need to be disappointed with books ever again. You don't have to like books just because everyone's talking about them. It's the same with the Black Dagger Brotherhood, another group. I'm pretty much guaranteeing that there is a group that will be talking about the books you love or the genres you love. You just have to search for them. You don't need to be disappointed. There are people like you out there. You don't have to go grasping for straws based on what other people are reading because they're hyped. You don't have to do that. You just have to look. So it's not right to talk about books, and not to mention my goddess and savior, Freda McFadden. Her Housemaid series came up a ton on BookTok, and I agree, it is really worth the hype. So this book is about Millie, and she is desperate, desperate for this job, to work as a maid in the beautiful home for the immaculate Nina. Her situation has gotten dire, and she needs this job more than Nina needs a maid. Never in a million years does she think she will get hired, but then one day, the call came. Nina offers her the position. Yay! The best news. The best news she's heard in years. She will do the best job and give Nina no reason to fire her. Millie comes with a dark past and all she wants is a new start. But is the Winchester's home the place to get that? Has Millie made a mistake getting caught up in their lives? Or is the mistake theirs? Okay, so I literally started this series because I was book touring for Book O'Tour. And this was one of the books I was touring for. And I'd actually never heard of Freda McFadden at that point. Now, I was hooked like a fish with a love of wormy worms, okay? The atmosphere was creep-tacular. And I could feel the spine-tingling danger. The goosebumps were unreal. Like, I got severe whiplash from the twistier turns no book has ever had at that point, in my opinion. You know that feeling you get in your stomach when it gets all knotted and it feels like you're falling down? I had that feeling, that sensation in my stomach most of the way through the book. Now, every time I thought I had it all figured out, I was completely wrong. And I was sold. But I also read the first book before it was even released. I smell a pattern here. Lots of people didn't dig it, though. This person said, one star. First, the wife upstairs equals Verity. Now, the housemaid, the last Mrs. Parrish. Does she have any of the original books of her own? This reviewer seems to think she's a plagiarist. Now, I've read all four of the books that she's talking about, and I can see similarities, but I don't agree with the assumption, but my views and that person's views are both valid. But we are worlds apart. This one-star review. The writing is lazy, the plot is full of holes, there is no character development. It's like the worst of teen lit. Enzo had muscles. Andy was handsome. Enzo was handsome. Andy had muscles. Did I mention Enzo and Andy were handsome and had muscles? The foreshadowing was so obviously misdirecting, it was laughable. As far as advertised twists, the villain was obvious before the halfway point. In the end, spoiler alert, the cop basically looked the other way because his daughter had been engaged to and traumatized by the psycho Andy while Millie moves on to kill another day. I was rolling my eyes so hard, I'm surprised I didn't fall out of my head. Okay, so I actually quite enjoy reading one-star book reviews, okay? Especially on books that I love. It makes my day to see other people's opinions and how little they matter to me. But if I was the author and I was reading these, yeah, you best be believing it's going to cut deep. So let's take a look at some of these series. Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. The Folk of Air series by Holly Black. Divine Rivals, which is a duology, by Rebecca Ross. Souls Trilogy by Harley LaRue. Okay, so my theory is that tropes play a massive role in the enjoyability of books. And maybe it's time that authors started to add tropes in the synopsis or with the trigger warnings, wherever it is that you put that crap. All four of these mentioned have 4 stars and above on Goodreads, like Divine Rivals. I've read both books. Did I enjoy them? Hell yeah. Are they worth the hype? In my opinion, yes. If you like epistolary books, that's books that tell stories through letters, Enemies to Lovers, Found Family, Magic Grief, and The Power of Love. Like, that's my opinion. What genre is it? It's a romantasy written for young adults, but I actually think that it's brilliant for all ages. Now, I gave it 4 stars. Okay, let's look at Throne of Glass. Did I enjoy them? What I've read of them so far? Yes, yes, yes. Are they worth the hype? Yes, in my opinion. If you like Enemies to Lovers, Love Triangles, One Bed, Forced Proximity, Fake Dating, Age Gap, Grumpy Hero, oh my God, you get the point, okay? So on, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of tropes in that series. It's a romantasy, high fantasy. What did I rate it? I gave it 4 stars so far. The Folk of Air series. Did I enjoy them? Yeah, I blew through them. Blew through them quick. Were they worth the hype? Yes, if you like political intrigue, enemies to lovers, morally grey characters, betrayal, self-discovery, bully romance, villains. The genre is fantasy written for young adults, but again, brilliant for all ages. What did I rate it? I gave it 4 stars. Like, do you see? Let's see. Souls Trilogy. Did I enjoy them? Okay, I only read book one. I am not a fan of smut with creatures that aren't humans, so I did not continue after the arc I got sent. But I did like the writing, and I actually thought the plot, other than the smutty parts, was actually quite brilliant. Are they worth the hype? Yes, if you love smut. This is a fantastic series. It is dark, and I mean super dark. They have some really graphic triple X scenes, violence, some serious kinks, okay? It's pretty character-driven. It has age gap, paranormal bad boys, and monsters. Obviously, it's a dark romance. It has an F-ton of triggers, okay? What did I give it? I gave the first book 4 stars, but like I said, it wasn't my vibe. Now, she did self-publish to start with, and Booktop hyped them into the big leads. And I think Kensington Books actually picked the series up and it's going through a re-release right now. But are you seeing a pattern? I like what I like. Now, a few more books to touch on. Babel by R.F. Coin. Easiest five-star book, okay? Brilliant historical fantasy book. So what's it about? It's 1828. Robin Swift, orphaned by cholera in Canton, is brought to London by the mysterious Professor Lovell. There, he trains for years in Latin, ancient Greek, and Chinese, all in preparation for the day he'll be enrolled in Oxford's University's prestigious Royal Institute of Translation, also known as Babel. The Tower and its students are the world's center for translation, and more importantly, magic. Silver working, the art of manifesting the meaning lost in translation using enhanced silver bars, has made the British unparalleled in power as the arcane craft serves the Empire's quest for colonization. Now, for Robin, Oxford is a utopia dedicated to the pursuit of knowledge, but knowledge obeys power. And as a Chinese boy raised in Britain, Robin realizes serving Babel means betraying his motherland. As his studies progress, Robin finds himself caught between Babel and the shadowy Hermes Society, an organization dedicated to stopping imperial expansion. Now, when Britain pursues an unjust war with China over silver and opium, Robin must decide. Now, this book, in my opinion, will become a classic one day. The writing was impeccable, and the author did an amazing job of researching the time period and adapting it to her vision. It's the kind of book that elicits emotions and keeps you engaged from start to finish. Now, this one-star review is the total opposite of me. This person had to say that it was superficial in its complexity, underlying plot holes, or parts of the plot felt like it came out of a young adult dystopian story. I can talk about the many problems they had with this book in terms of its length and its structure, its utterly paper-thin characters, and how goddamn condescending it is. But I feel that I should start with the part of the book that broke me. Now, there's a concept often floating around where people talk about how to portray bigotry and the prejudice inside fiction, and the concept that it's portraying racist or queerphobic, ableist, etc. violence. Authors should take care not to do so in a way that is traumatic to the audience who might share that identity. I actually don't disagree here. Otherwise, such a portrayal begins to feel like trauma porn. For the majority, not an imperative narrative for the marginalized. Now, Babel feels like trauma porn. It is an unceasing stream of racism and racist violence against its characters of color. Okay, so that review was brutal. And those were just the highlights. But do you see how we differ as readers? The color of one's skin can change our perspectives just like that. It's crazy, isn't it? Okay, so the last book I'm going to highlight is a book that is so problematic for readers and has a ton of Reddits and Facebook groups dedicated to it. Yep, it's Colleen Hoover's Verity. This book turned thriller readers on their heads when it came out. You either love it or you hate it. Now, I'm pretty unique here. I was going through the slump of all slumps when I read this book back in 2019, and it pulled me from my slump in spectacular fashion, and I did join the insanity of manuscript versus letter. Now, you may not know what I'm talking about, or maybe you do. Maybe you're scratching your head right now. I'm going to give you the synopsis. Lauren Ashley is a struggling writer on the brink of financial ruin when she accepts the job offered of a lifetime. Jeremy Crawford, husband of best-selling author Verity Crawford, has hired Lauren to complete the remaining books in a successful series his injured wife is unable to finish. Lauren arrives at the Crawford home, ready to sort through years of Verity's notes and outlines, hoping to find enough material to get her started. What Lauren doesn't expect to uncover as the chaotic office is an unfinished biography Verity never intended for anybody to read. Page after page of bone-chilling admissions, including Verity's recollection of what really happened the day her daughter died. Lauren decides to keep the manuscript. She hides it from Jeremy, knowing its contents could devastate the already grieving father. But as Lauren's feelings for Jeremy begin to intensify, she recognizes all the ways she could benefit if he were to read his wife's words. After all, No matter how devoted Jeremy is to his injured wife, a truth this horrifying would make it impossible for him to continue to love her. Okay, so I was praising this book like you wouldn't believe. I thought it was genius. The only thing I didn't like was the ambiguous ending, okay? Which was the thing about the manuscript and the letter. But then Colleen decides to release bonus chapters. And I went back and read the book again. And I was like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, the plot holes were ginormous. I can now see how amateur the writing truly was, and I really did cringe at some of the twists. I don't know if it's because I've grown as a reader, like it's, but it was years ago, right? Or I have found much better books, and now hers just don't. They stand out as being really bad, like the lifeless dead trees other readers have likened it to. I found some really solid 1-star reviews that I actually fully agree with. Okay. This person said, I mean, if you like sex scenes drier than a biology textbook, sure, have at it. Some people desperately need Jesus, and Colin Hoover is one of them. I love that one. The unseasoned Walmart brand version of Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. I've just finished Verity, and I wish it was possible to open up my skull, take out my brain, and dip it in disinfectant. It's such horrible, nasty trash that I feel a bit dirty for spending 99 pence on my hard-earned money on something so unpleasant. Okay, and those were some of the nicer ones. I guess my point here really is that we change as readers, and things we loved before just don't have the same impact on us years later. So you can see why some hyped books just aren't for you, when others are out there completely raving about them. I don't necessarily think that hype books aren't worth the try. But I think if you're going to dip your toe into book talk mania, you really need to manage your expectations. Take a look at the tropes. What are the triggers? Maybe take a look at the reviews for the book. See what other books the author has written. Have a look, do your research. It might help. I've hated myself for money I've spent on books that I wouldn't wipe my butt on if I ran out of toilet paper. So what did you think? Do you read hype books? Do you think you'd give one a try now you understand this, like the psychology of hyped books a little better? Please let me know in the comments. I really enjoyed this episode, and I hope you did too. And if you did, please give me a hit on that subscribe button. You know where, youtube.com/@therightkindofbooktalk. Don't forget, I also have a TikTok account. You can follow me there at right.kind.book.talk. I also have an Instagram page at The Right Kind of Book Talk, in case you're not on TikTok. Lots of people aren't. I do have a Facebook page. You can find me at Right Kind Book Talk. And as always, you can email me, okay? therightkindofbooktalk@gmail.com. If you just want to give me some feedback, or maybe there's a topic you'd like to see me cover, you want to come on my show, maybe you want to have a discussion about a book that you really enjoyed and you want me to read it too, let's do it. I'm in. Let's go. Now, you can find The Right Kind of Book Talk on Spotify, Apple Music, RSS, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon, and yeah, pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. Give me a follow on any of these and be in with a chance to win bookish prizes. If you send a friend to my YouTube and they subscribe, and you're already subscribed, or you subscribe as well, you can double your chance of winning. Have the reading day you deserve, and I will see you next week. I'm Stacey Wright, your host, signing off. Take care.